Jenny Thomas reportedly told the committee that her husband was unaware of her involvement in challenges to the 2020 election, and they never discussed any case before the court. And if there's one thing I believe, it's that this guy doesn't talk to his wife.
Ah, yes, ho, ho, ho. That's one thing he believes. This guy doesn't talk to his wife. Like Barney Rubble and, you know, Fred and Wilma Flintstone. Well, happy Monday to you and welcome. Welcome to our humble radio broadcast, The Chris Plant Show, in the greatest country in the history of the world, the least racist country, except for those racist Democrats, what with their civil wars and lynching and Jim Crow and all that stuff. God, they're racist, aren't they? Man, what's the matter with those racists? They're unbelievable. So we've got lots of Democrat for you. Joe Biden was on Friday mostly. He was up and about. I think he's been in the iron lung all weekend. Have we seen him all weekend? Have we seen him? Kamala was at a black tie affair. Was she wearing black tie? She was not. She was wearing something sparkly, though. So it was very black tie-esque. And she was asked about this crazy stuff that she said the other day, that in the federal government doling out relief, that's cash. That's a Washington word that means cash. Doling out relief in Florida because of the hurricane, which is caused by global warming. I saw that on the TV. And it's right here in the Washington Post today, too. And it's the Republicans' fault that there's global warming, one political party in one country, the United States of America, responsible for global warming. And so when a boat washes up on shore, it's the Republicans' fault. That's actually the editorial cartoon in the Washington Post on the editorial page today. It's the Republicans' fault that there's a boat that was washed up by a hurricane because they're really mentally limited, these Democrats, but at least they're fanatical. So we got that going for us. And the Democrats, you know how they love apocalypse? They love the apocalypse. You know how they teach their children that we have, Crosby, Stills, Nash sung Teach Your Children Well, right? The Democrats, I think it would be fair to say, don't follow that advice. They don't do that at all. It's, hi, honey, you're a boy today, you know, but I'm a girl, mommy. It's, they don't teach their children well. The earth is on fire and we're all going to die soon. And you should be angry about that. That's not really teaching your children well. And, you know, then the revised Soviet version of American history and all that. But setting that aside, they have, they are an apocalyptic death cult. And The Washington Post, they got one today. The headline is Apocalypse Now. This is their headline. Apocalypse Now, colon. They love their colons. It's where they keep all of their intelligence. Democrats embrace a dark message for the midterms. That's the continuation of the Apocalypse Now headline. They're an apocalyptic death cult. I've been pointing this out because it's true for a long time now. And they're raising their children. Can you believe they have children? How did that happen? I thought they, you know, got most of them, but, you know, harvest their organs and stuff. But now, Apocalypse Now, Democrats embrace dark message for the midterms. And their dark message is that Republicans are really, really, really bad. All Republicans are fascists and they're going to destroy democracy. That's what the Democrats are running on. Because it's kind of hard to run on the economy and war in Europe. Now you see this Putin advisor is talking about using low-yield nuclear weapons in Ukraine because they know that Joe Biden is the leader of the free world. And, you know, you can slap him around like he's a Girl Scout at a Taliban picnic. And there's nothing he can do about it because he's Joe Biden. But in any case, Apocalypse Now. We got the Apocalypse Now for you because The Washington Post and the Democrats, they're all about apocalypse. Everything is apocalyptic. And really, it's because of them. They've been burning and looting our cities for so long and firebombing churches and shooting police and launching suicide attackers and assassins outside of the home of Supreme Court justices. And then they step up the protests at their homes because they like the threat. And the, you know, the Senate Majority Leader, Chuck Schumer, hair grows on the outside of his nose. He's a reptilian. You know, are you familiar with, you know, these theories on the Internet about reptile people living on Earth? I think Chuck Schumer, you know, I don't believe that. But if you're looking for a textbook example, it might be Chuck Schumer. See, when he sticks his little tongue out of his mouth like this, it's like Scarface, that poolside scene. You know, he's a reptilian. But we'll get into all that because these guys, can I just tell you, these guys. And then Karine Jean-Pierre. It's what somebody pointed out, that if you stop, her name is Karine Jean-Pierre, if you stop short, she's just cringe, see? Just cringe, Jean-Pierre, because she makes you cringe, Pierre. She says, boy, you know, Joe Biden, you may remember when Barack Obama was at a Memorial Day ceremony in Arizona, and he talked about Americans serving in the United States military that made the ultimate sacrifice, right? That means died, were killed in combat. And he said, you have it right there. Is that what you're saying? And it's Barack Obama, Memorial Day. So while he was president, and he sees dead people.
On this Memorial Day, as our nation honors its unbroken line of fallen heroes, and I see many of them in the audience here today.
That's right. He sees many of the fallen heroes in the audience here today, right? And then, you know, Joe Biden, he was looking for a congresswoman from Indiana who was tragically killed in a car accident driving with staffers. And he was giving a speech. And the thing is, they had just kind of done a tribute to this woman, the congresswoman, and then Joe Biden went looking for her in the audience.
I want to thank all of you here, for including bipartisan elected officials like Representative Governor, Senator Braun, Senator Booker, Representative Jackie, are you here? Where's Jackie? I didn't think she was going to be here.
Yeah, she's probably not there because she was killed in a car accident sometime back. And now Joe Biden's looking for her in the audience because his brain, she's a broke, she's a no good. And the news media, they're all good with this. They're all fine. Oh, come on. We all make mistakes. This is nothing. Let's just move on. You guys are, you know, where is Jackie? President Biden calls out dead congresswoman during speech. Just amazing. Joe Biden mistakenly asked whether the late Representative Jackie Walorski, a Republican of Indiana who died in a car crash in August, was in attendance during his speech Wednesday. I was off on Thursday and Friday. I wasn't even here. And the White House Conference on Hunger, Nutrition, and Health, a matter which he was an advocate. And then cringe. We usually call her KJP in our notes to each other in our text, Karine Jean-Pierre. We just abbreviate it KJP. And boy, cringe. I think cringe. She is cringeworthy. And when she was asked about Joe Biden looking for Joe Biden, at least his name was on it, put out a statement when the congressman was tragically killed in a car accident in August, the Republican from Indiana, Jackie Walorski. And Karine Jean-Pierre was asked about it, I assume, by Peter Ducey, because who else would ask? And she gave a cringe on Pierre answer extraordinaire.
So the president was, as you all know, you guys were watching today's event, a very important event on food insecurity. The president was naming the congressional champions on this issue and was acknowledging her incredible work. He had already planned to welcome the Congresswoman's family to the White House on Friday. There will be a bill signing in her honor this coming Friday. So,
she
of
won't
course,
be there.
She was on his mind. She was of top of mind
for
the president.
Mind.
He looks forward to discussing her remarkable legacy of public service with them when he sees her family this coming Friday.
Jackie, are you here? Where's Jackie? She must not be here.
No, I totally understand. I just explained
totally understand.
She was on top of mind.
I just explained she was on top of mind. She was on top of mind. This is an idiocracy. There are less polite words that could be used, but our president is a moron, and his brain, she's a broke, she's a no good. And then we've got cringe at the microphone, and she just, if you don't cringe when you hear her, then I don't know what it would take.
She was a top of mind.
If the late congresswoman was top of mind, why was he looking for her?
Again, I don't think it's all that unusual to have someone top of mind.
I think we all totally get why she's top of mind.
She was on top of mind.
Top of mind.
Someone is on top of mind.
Top of mind.
Again, she was at the top of mind. Sometimes when you have someone top of mind, they're a top of mind.
Now, first of all, I've never heard anyone use that particular phrasing, on top of mind. And then I think she had a top of the mind in there somewhere. She is she's a no good. But, you know, but Democrats, they make decisions for all the wrong reasons. And, you know, where's Jackie and Barack Obama, who the news media told us was a genius, right? And he saw the fallen heroes at the Memorial Day event there, like a scene from Poltergeist or something. Because he's got magical powers and he can slow the rise of the oceans and heal the planet. And when you're a Democrat, this is all okay, isn't it? This is all just fine because Democrats. All right, so that's just scratching the surface. I wasn't here Thursday, Friday, so I want to cover a little bit of that stuff.
I see dead people.
See, that's, they are just these people. What is the matter with these people? Can I just tell you? And the apocalypse now. The apocalypse now. Democrats embrace. And this is on the front page above the fold. Today's Washington Post. Democrats embracing dark vision in midterms. And you'd think for a moment, based on the headline, that maybe it's a negative story about Democrats. It's not. It's not. It's an attack on Republicans, the whole thing. The dark vision is Republicans are fascists and Nazis, and the Democrats are, snuffing out 400 out of every 1,000 black pregnancies and harvesting their organs, but pay no attention to that. They have after-school Satan Club, but no dark vision for them. They love after they ban the Bible in schools, but then they insist that you allow after-school Satan Clubs because that's your Democrat Party. By the way, the Washington Post had a story over the weekend, why the baby formula crisis wasn't a complete disaster. No, because it's good. And they spin the baby formula shortage, which, by the way, isn't over, but it is in the Washington Post because they're a Democrat rag and they're a propaganda outlet. It's just amazing. Also, mortgage rates hit a 15-year high. Thanks, Joe Biden. And that's not a news story. That's really not even in the Washington Post because it doesn't serve the interests of the Democrat Party. Mortgage rates hit a 15-year high. Thanks, Joe Biden. Homicide rates are skyrocketing, too, and carjacking and home invasions. And, Democrats, see, guns don't kill people, Democrats do. At 6.7%, some economists raise forecasts. Yeah, that's it would be alarms, but amazing. So the Democrats and Biden seeking hundreds of millions of dollars to funnel their radical extremist critical race theory so-called teaching into schools in America. We've got that. Conservatives and pro-lifers face political violence after Biden calls Trump supporters a threat, a serious threat. Joe Biden wants to fire people from the military, from the Coast Guard and other services for not being vaccinated. And we're talking about limited nuclear war in Europe now, and China is building up their military. And the Democrats are hollowing out our military because they're not on our side. Pretty amazing stuff. And boy, oh boy, Kamala Harris, She said some crazy stuff. She's a racist, by the way, just in case you were curious about that. She's completely racist. And in case you're wondering why I would say something like that, there are 100 reasons, but she gave us another one on Friday. When they're such radicals, they're such Maoists, and they're such organ-harvesting racists that they're talking about providing relief in response to the hurricane in Florida based on race because of equity. And she's completely insane. The news media, Joyless Reid and her mental gang going crazy. The district attorney, radical leftist in Philadelphia, he's okay with 1,000 murders. He still wants to let criminals go, more criminals go, because he said it's working. It's working. I guess we know what the goal is now. Transgender. Oh, and Hung Cao, our friend in Virginia, great American running for Congress. There was a debate, and it was full of Democrat crazy and Republican sane. Hung Cao running for Congress in Virginia. That's coming up as well. Parental rights, dippity Democrats, and more. 888-630-9625.
There's only one Chris Plant. The Chris Plant Show.
Hey, it's Chris Plant inviting you on our 2023 Sea Cruise. Next June, we'll be headed to the beautiful Mediterranean, sailing from Barcelona to Portugal, with stops in Ibiza, Casablanca, and more. For details, visit ChrisPlantCruise.com.
You met Lala Kent on Vanderpump Rules. Now Lala and her friends share everything on Give Them Lala.
I'm expecting my second child. Which is very, very amazing.
Congratulations.
To say. Feels
We're
that
all
way.
With child.
You can say she's pregnant, she's knocked up, anything except with child.
Oh, I love with child. I'm going to be saying it all the time. Yep. Excuse
yes,
me.
Yes, yes.
6 feet, I'm with child.
Watch what Lala is talking about on YouTube or search for Give Them Lala wherever you listen.
OPEC Plus. Now it's called OPEC Plus. Have you seen this? Front page of the Wall Street Journal. OPEC, it's like CNN Plus and LGBTQ Plus. Now it's OPEC Plus, the oil producing and exporting countries. Plus, OPEC Plus. To they're embracing their transgender nature and the Middle Eastern nations. OPEC Plus to weigh a sharp cut in oil output. Group plans this week to look at reducing daily production by 1 million barrels to bolster prices. Oh, higher gas prices, because they know Joe Biden is weak and feckless and they can roll right over him and he will be confused. And that's what the Democrat Party has done to us. All right, let's go to the telephones, Michael. Let's go to Dan calling from Calvert County, Maryland. Daniel, you're on the Chris Plant Show.
Good morning, Chris. Can you hear me okay?
Yes, sir, I can.
Oh, great. I said don't take Kamala personally. She just read off the sheet that Organizer-in-Chief Obama handed to her.
Well, she's clearly not an original thinker. She's not thinking for herself. I don't think she's thinking at all. She is a parrot, a sock puppet, much like Joe Biden himself, don't you think, Dan?
I was going to say, name me a person in today's administration that is not picking up his hand sheets to read.
Honestly, Joe Biden can't think his way out of a paper bag. And Kamala Harris, she had some crazy stuff. What do you think about the race-based distribution of money to Florida for hurricane relief, Dan?
Look, I grew up in Fort Lauderdale. I wandered in water up to my waist when I was a kid. And I think that Kamala Harris is just typical of where our organizer-in-chief is, and that is you tear people apart, and that's exactly what Obama's continuing to do.
Very good, Dan. Very good, Daniel. And you're certainly not alone in thinking that these people are just a front group for the Obama organization. And there are a bunch of them in the Biden White House as well. The ones that aren't are making big money on the outside and still influencing what's going on the inside. And they're racist.
This is the Chris Plant Show.
Mike Carruthers shares little pieces of intel and interviews you can use to improve your life on the Something You Should Know podcast.
The next time you're looking for a job and have to write a cover letter, here's some advice from Skip Freeman, author of a book called Headhunter's Hiring Secrets. Add a P.S. to the bottom of that cover letter. That can actually increase the chances of that letter being read by up to 75%. Some people actually glance down and read the P.S. first.
Something You Should Know. Search on YouTube or wherever you listen.
Cringe down at the White House. I've got a small apology. Cecilia Vega of ABC News actually asked questions about the late congressman that Joe Biden was looking for in the room the other day. And when a reporter asks a question like a reporter at the White House, which is pretty unusual, delete pretty. It's very, very unusual. Cecilia Vega, you know, she gets a milk bone for the day. Here, have a little milk bone treat, pat her on the head. You asked a question. Now, you're earning your $700,000 a year. You asked one question this year. Good job, Cecilia Vega. But my pal James Rosen, you know James Rosen? He's at Newsmax. He was at Fox News, now at Newsmax. And James Rosen, I like very much. He's a funny guy. He's a smart guy. And he's a good reporter. He's a real reporter. And he also is something of an authority on two different things. On Richard Nixon, the Nixon administration, and Watergate. I'm going to lump those together as one thing. And the second thing he's very expert in is the Beatles. And while Cringe was, that's short for Cringe on Pierre, when Cringe was saying on top of mind, which is not a phrase used in the English language or the Western world, but she kept using it over in variations. You can say top of mind. You know, well, this matter is top of mind. That's a turn of phrase. On top of mind, that's a different thing altogether. Somebody's sitting on your head. You know, it's, I don't know why Hillary Clinton and Humma Wiener came to mind, but that's the So here's James Rosen at the White House briefing the other day with a follow-up. Can you imagine a follow-up? That the lost art of the follow-up. And he said, you know, listen, top of mind.
Corrine, I have John Lennon top of mind just about every day, but I'm not looking around for him anywhere.
When you sign a bill for John Lennon as president, then we can have this conversation. Well, okay, go ahead. Go ahead.
She thought that was a snappy comeback. She thought that was clever. James Rosen, hey, I've got John Lennon top of mind every day. Not on top of mind, because he's not illiterate, but the White House press secretary is. I've got John Lennon top of mind every day, but I'm not looking for him in the room, James Rosen said of Newsmax. Well, when you've got a bill, when you, and then the answer, and you hear the, like, the bitterness in her voice with the, well, when you've got a bill that's being signed, really, and then, and it's like the John Lennon bill where Democrats shouldn't shoot musicians, a New York City bill, something like that. I was speaking of which, there's more John Hinckley news, too. The Democrats love John Hinckley. Don't they love John Hinckley? And John Hinckley, he's tweeting. He's looking for a manager, right? You see John Hinckley? He's a Democrat, and he needs a manager because he's a musician, don't you know? I don't know if you heard about this, but he is he's a musician now. He plays the guitar badly. He sounds like Bernie Sanders singing. And it's quite an embarrassment. But John Hinckley was tweeting over the weekend. He's got that in common with Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez. And he's tweeting that I need a proper manager, he tweeted. Someone with connections and passion. If you fit the bill, send email to John Hinckley, I don't want to actually give his email address out. But there he is. So, I mean, I saw that over the weekend, and I said, hey, look, there are jobs in the Biden economy. See, Biden's creating jobs all over the place. John Hinckley needs a manager. The would-be presidential assassin, John Hinckley, who's now on the loose because of Democrats. And, you know, he shot a Secret Service agent that day, Tim McCarthy, D.C. police officer Thomas Delahanty, and, of course, the White House press secretary James Brady shot him in the head, never the same. Much later, his death was attributed at least in part to John Hinckley shooting him in the head with a .22 caliber pistol, which Joe Biden recommends you use because he thinks they're better, because Joe Biden's brain is very broke. Sirhan used a .22 caliber pistol to shoot Bobby Kennedy in the head and kill him. And the Democrats just gave Sirhan parole, and John Hinckley's on the loose, and he's looking for a manager, someone with connections and passion. And the thing is, Democrats will step up for this because they're buying his T-shirts like they're going out of style. And he announced that he's going to hold a concert in Brooklyn, and the tickets sold out like that. I'm snapping my fingers. Some tickets sold out like that because you can't see it, but I'm going like that. And that's snapping fingers. That's John Hinckley. He's looking for a Democrat to be his manager, someone with connections. Naturally, you need to, come on, he knows. He's business savvy, John Hinckley, and he's a Democrat. He shot President Reagan in the chest and tried to kill him because he was really fond of Jodie Foster. I'm sure he still is. In fact, go to the will call window, wherever he's having a concert, and there's a ticket at will call for Jodie Foster everywhere he goes. Just in case. They're not creepy or anything. Oh, by the way, yesterday was the one-year anniversary of Let's Go Brandon. You know, the Let's Go Brandon moment, which was a great moment in American political and sports history. It was 1 year ago yesterday that NBC Sports was covering a big car race, and it was a lot of fun because the NBC Sports lady was interviewing the big winner of the race. When the crowd started chanting in the background, beep, Joe Biden, beep, Joe Biden. And the mildly amused NBC sportswoman said, oh, look, I still give her enough credit to believe that she was making a joke out of what she knew was obviously going on, as opposed to trying to cover it up. But this was a great moment in sports history.
Thank you to all of our partners. Oh, my God, such an unbelievable moment.
Brandon, you also told me you can hear the chants from the crowd. Let's go, Brandon.
Let's go, Brandon. See, I think that she was being funny. Nobody's that dumb. She got a little laugh. She kind of laughed a little bit. It was really a fun thing, and it's become a part of our political culture, for better or for worse. But Let's Go, Brandon is, of course, the cleaned up version. That's just funny stuff. Funny stuff. That was 1 year ago yesterday. 1 year ago yesterday. A great moment in American political history. A great moment in sports history. And all very, very amusing. You know, if you have a sense of humor, you may have noticed that the Democrats don't really have much of a sense of humor when it comes to themselves or anything that's actually funny. You know, they love hate. They love to hate everybody. Yeah, but the Let's Go Brandon thing was 1 year ago yesterday. A lot of fun. NASCAR, because, the fans at NASCAR have fun. They did have what we call the F-bomb on the air repeatedly with the chant, and the NBC News lady just kind of rolled right through it. It was pretty funny. It's tongue-in-cheek, you see. And they, Brandon Brown won the race, then, that's the way that goes. Crazy, crazy. Let's go, Brandon. Who was the lady? I don't know the NBC News lady, but she was pretty funny. It was at Talladega, and she was funny. Oh, it was Kelly Stavast. Kelly Stavast was the broadcaster on the Let's Go, Brandon. Let's Go, Brandon moment a year ago. Just too funny. Good stuff. It was a great moment. Great American moment in its own special way. Also, did you see the mayor of New York City, Eric Adams? Did you see this guy? He there are all kinds of things. There's a Tom Clancy movie. It might be Hunt for Red October. When I'm not kissing babies, I'm stealing candy. Well, the mayor of New York, who is a terrible disappointment. Eric Adams, he tweeted out himself, "I've said it before, I'll say it again. No one is as kind and generous as New Yorkers." And it's a picture of him leaning over a baby carriage. He's in a business suit. He's got his hands in the pockets of his pants, and he's leaning fully forward, and he's sucking on the candy stick that a baby in a stroller is holding up. Maybe it's from a Happy Meal. It looks like it might be from a McDonald's Happy Meal. But here is the mayor of New York bending over, and it looks like he's taking candy from a baby, taking candy from a baby in New York City, and he says that they're generous. No, you're stealing from a baby is what's happening here, and it's kind of creepy. Actually, you guys, we need to keep these people away from the children. They are not safe around children. You know, the Democrats, grooming and all of that, just completely crazy. Oh, man. We got AOC for you. We got all kinds of stuff. But let's get to some of the politics. Politics, politics, politics. Goes all the way up to the palace. And this starts at, I believe it starts at soundbite number 11. Number 11. In the Commonwealth of Virginia, there is, as you might imagine, a congressional race in the 10th Congressional District. And there is a Democrat who is a horrible, awful person. Jennifer Wexton, and she's running a racist campaign against a great American who is the son of Vietnamese immigrants and a great guy. I've met him. He's a wonderful guy. His name is Hung Cao, and Hung Cao is the son of Vietnamese immigrants. His family fled the communists. His father took work in Africa for several years when Hung Cao was a small child. Then they moved back to the United States, and Hung Cao, proud American, and he went to the Naval Academy, became a rompin' stompin' naval officer, mamma jamma, amazing guy. And they had this debate over the weekend. And the debate was at an Islamic center. And Hung Cao C. Wexler, the radical Democrat extremist, she is labeling Hung Cao, again, the son of Vietnamese immigrants who went to the Naval Academy, Hung Cao, and served in the Navy as a naval officer, and she's calling him an extremist, which makes her, you know, a radical and a fascist, I think. Isn't that the thing? So there was a debate, and it went, well, it went in all kinds of interesting directions. But here's the incumbent, Jennifer Wexton, who is in favor of boys stealing trophies from girls.
Most of the kids who play trans sports are not very, or sports as trans Americans and as trans women do not, you know, they're not like the swimmer in the college at the college level. I think that we should have rules about the participation at the college level and the NAACP,
the NAACP
has definitely taken on those rules. But I do feel that, you know, in the high school sports, it's really a matter of access more than anything else. And being able to participate. And these are kids who are already suffering because they don't fit in and they don't feel that they are being understood. And so for them to be able to participate in sports in a positive way really helps them. We're mostly talking about little kids on the playground just playing soccer and things like that.
Yeah, and then those girls in Connecticut that lost their scholarships and they're standing at the States because these two dudes who look like they could be playing for the San Francisco 49ers are competing as girls in high school track and field. But, you know, it's important as a Democrat that you have no idea what you're talking about, but continue to talk about it anyway. Just amazing. Hung Cao, who's a great American and darn well ought to be going to Congress after this year's midterm elections.
I'm going to be short, sweet, and to the point, like me. But, no. Look, biological men do not belong in women's prisons, women's shelters, or women's sports. That's all.
Wow, isn't that amazing? That's short, sweet, and to the point. Like him, he said. I met him. He's not actually short. He's being self-deprecating, and he's a sturdy, smart guy and a great American. Naval Academy grad, son of Vietnamese immigrants. He's the great American story, and the Democrats hate that, so they smear him. It's what they always do. Here's the radical extremist Democrat, Jennifer Wexton.
Women should have a right to make their own reproductive decisions, and that includes the right to get an abortion. right? This is something that a vast majority of Americans favor, and something that is not something that the government should be getting involved in. This is oftentimes the hardest decision a woman will ever make. She needs to make it with her doctor and her partner if she chooses, but the government should not be making that decision for her.
Oh, that reminds me of all the military people are being kicked out at the end of the year of the military because they're not allowed to make their own medical decisions about whether they take vaccines that didn't go through the normal trials. And many of them are super athletes and all of this stuff. Now, you may have heard there that, you see, they're in a Muslim center holding the debate, and the Muslim people in the crowd weren't enthusiastic about her abortion on demand stuff. Hung Cao.
I love that question because, you know, the beautiful part of the 10th district is we're so diverse, right? Oh. 45% minorities. How awesome is that? 45%, 18% Hispanic, 17% Asian. You know, the Muslim community has been so amazing here. That's how we're going to win because the people are stepping up. They're saying enough government overreach. Enough telling me what to do. This is the United States of America. I fought to preserve the freedom in this country where the government doesn't come in and tell you what to do. There's 25% immigrants in certain parts, 25%, like myself. I came here with nothing, and this country gave me everything, and I paid back in full with my service to this nation. I'm going to continue to serve you as your next congressman. Thank you.
Thank you, and thank you, and he's great. We've got a bit more from that debate as well. And Hung Cao again, I met Hung Cao at our Vets for Vets event. That's Core Vets for Veterans. It was a great event. As you might imagine, a lot of veterans and a lot of Core Vets. They were great. And a lot of intelligence. Central Intelligence Agency and other intelligence people there that I met and talked to and had a great day at Vets for Vets. Hung Cao. Running against this radical extremist who is smearing a very good man because that's what the Democrats do. They have nothing to run on, so they just want to burn the village. We're at 888-630-9625.
You're listening to The Chris Plant Show.
Named one of the best personal finance podcasts, The Stacking Benjamin Show with Joe and his friends makes financial literacy fun.
Work hard and save your money. That way, when you're old like me, you can buy the things that only young people can enjoy.
Squirrel watching.
You heard it here first. Get yourself a squirrel cam. Spend $30 a month on nuts, and you'll be at early retirement before you know it.
No, Piggy, this is the road to a podcast nobody listens to.
Find out more by searching The Stacking Benjamins podcast wherever you listen.
So Hung Cao, as a small child, refugee from the communists in Vietnam and Southeast Asia. Parents moved him here. Dad took a job in Africa for a while. Moved back to the United States. Now, the Democrats, you know, the party of the Klan, they're trying to paint Hung Cao, Navy officer, captain, special operations, diver, explosive ordnance disposal, combat veteran. Here's Hung Cao.
Extremist. Where have you heard this word before?
That's what they're calling him.
Where have you heard this word before?
Talking to a Muslim group.
I fought and served this country. I bled for this country. And I'm being called an extremist. I've served honorably for every American. I know a lot of people that served with me didn't agree with my politics. And it's fine. I served them anyways. I served them as a commanding officer. I served in combat, preserved life, and now I'm being called an extremist. Where have you heard that before?
Addressing a Muslim audience. Hey, wait a minute. Sound familiar to a Muslim audience? Here is a great American, know him personally, Hung Cao.
This is how we tear people apart. I deserve to be called American. I've earned that right. We've all earned that right. We've earned that right to be called Americans. Not because we weren't born here. I mean, that's what Ronald Reagan said, right? You can go to France, you go to Germany, you can go to England, but you'll never be French, you'll never be German, and you'll never be British. But anybody can come to the United States and be called an American. I deserve to be called an American. Ladies and gentlemen, I will fight for every single person here.
But the Democrats smear him, and he was holding up a flyer that the radical left-wing extremist Democrat who is running for the House of Representatives for re-election. And she's terrible, Jennifer Wexton, and they just smear people because she's got nothing positive, nothing affirmative to run on. So they smear and slander people. It's the one thing the Democrat Party does very well with their allies in the media. There's a hit piece in the Washington Post on Hung Cao after the debate. Hung Cao's great.
Our house is a mess. Come on in. I'm Amber Wallen, internet comedian and host of your new favorite podcast, Fly on the Wallen.
Okay, that's pretty presumptuous to assume that this is going to be their favorite podcast, by the way.
Anyway, that wasp that you just heard interrupt me is my husband.
And co-host, Benjamin Wallen.
Listen in as we discuss relationships and keeping our sweet baby kid alive.
Fly on the Wallen, wherever you listen.